Sober on Purpose is the podcast that takes you beyond clean to fulfilling your dreams. Other programs get you sober. We ask, what's next? Come thrive with us.
Welcome back, Sober on Purpose family. I have such an exciting guest for you today. She not only speaks multiple languages, is super talented, a master of forensic psychology. Nevria Yassel has written a book specifically for mothers talking to teens about drug addiction. And we believe, being in this field, that this may be the only one that is now written specifically for you moms out there who carry such a large burden and want such wonderful things for your kids. And it starts with, if I understand correctly, having looked at some of your material, it starts way early on how to speak with your kids, how to work with your kids. So Nevria, why don't you give us a little background on you and on how this book got started?
I would love to. Thank you, Tanya, for having me. Thank you for giving me the platform to bring my message across, because this is my passion. My passion is to empower families, specifically for moms. And I get the question a lot, like, why moms? Like, why not a book on drug addiction in general? And, you know, several reasons. I'm a mom myself, and a bunch of other reasons. Among those are, I have seen so many moms suffer. They are most of the time are the primary caregivers. They know ahead of time. They know before anybody else has a clue. That they have this, I believe, and this really bond, this unshakable bond that is unmatched between mom and a child. And mom would do anything to help their kids. And I found that, you know, in their attempt to help, that they usually do the wrong thing. And doing the wrong thing does one thing: you lose valuable time that you can't afford to lose. That's it. I want to save the time. I want to educate parents, specifically moms, empower them, so not only can they prevent substance abuse from happening in the first place, but also intervene properly when it did happen. So yeah, I have just published a book a few months ago called Mom Help Me. Anybody that is interested, and really highly recommend, it's free. Just visit momhelpmebook.com and order your free copy. Real, a lot of evidence-based, research-based information in there. Let me show you the cover right here. Mom Help Me at momhelpmebook.com. And I have seen, Tanya, I have seen moms bury their kids. So how I got started into this was quite interesting. I was doing research in a jail, you know, in my pursuit of my PhD degree, you know, just noticed one thing, that 99% of these women I was working with are really nice people. In my eyes, they were not criminals, really. Like, they were not criminals in my eyes, but they had one problem, and that was drug addiction. 99% of these women. And I have lost a couple to overdose. I'm like, gosh, I really need to do something now. I need to do something now. I can't wait. Finish my doctorate degree, which would take me another 7-8 years. Mm-hmm. By that time, I calculated, well, by that time, we will have lost another million people, because we lost just in year 2022. We lost 109,000 individuals to overdose. So by the time I was done, I would be done. It would be like close to a million people died. I have all the skills, all the resources to make an impact now. So that's how my journey started. Went to a funeral of this really lovely 24-year-old that we lost to overdose. Saw her mom really like as a mom, like it, you just have all these thoughts going through your mind, like it could have been my child, right? And then I had this really burning desire to help. Like, I could have had it. I had a 50% chance of saving this child, this young woman. Like, what if I had worked with the mom ahead of time when this first started, when she was not 24, but when she was 15 or 14, when she just started going down the rabbit hole. There's, you know, and like early intervening early and empowering the mom, educating the mom, I could have saved her. I felt like I really could have made a difference. That's why my mission is to empower not only mom, but also work with the team to get them, you know, to the road to recovery as soon as possible and help them really live their best life full of possibilities before it becomes a full-fledged addiction where it becomes a little bit more challenging. Because, you know, teens still live in a parent's house and their, right. You know, parents still have a little bit of control over their kids. And there's, you know, and they're, you know, with a little skilled intervention, they may stop. Which really would save so much suffering, not only save the child's life and future, but also one person does drugs, addiction, and 100 other people suffering behind it, like the parents, the relatives, absolutely. The friends. It impacts so many. It's kind of like a ripple effect. It affects so many other people. And that's what I do. I do work with families, try to help them as much as I can, empower them, show them skills to communicate, intervene, and how to, very importantly, how to find substance use, how to find that your child is using drugs. Usually families find out way too late. I found out they find out way, way too late. You know, and I have a whole chapter on how to find out which warning signs to look out for, not only what drug paraphernalia, the tools that they lay out, you know, that gives a clue, like lighters and aluminum foil and all these little weird household items that you could find in weird places, like in their pocket or car, but also what the behavioral signs and the physical signs, like as detailed as looking at their clothes, like I would love to really dig deeper into that and give
families. Let's go back. So that's also my premise, is that every addict affects 5 people intimately. And really, if we looked at the support groups for the families should be bigger than the support groups for the addicts themselves. They should be a lot larger. And I define addiction really broad. And when we're talking about substance use, as you are, let's go back, and so stay tuned to the podcast. We're going to go through what really happens towards the end and what you can do if your child is using, but let's go back to pre-use. What do you suggest parents start to do when they're, you know, when they're younger, when they're hitting elementary, when they're in places where they're getting a little bit of independence, but not like you would as a teenager?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that question. Because, you know, intervention can really save a lot of suffering, right? You don't want that to happen in the first place. And the best advice I can really give any parent is have a good relationship with your child. Have a positive relationship with your child. Like carve time for them. I know we are all busy. Some moms work 2-3 jobs. I get it. But even small moments count, like driving them to school or mealtime. Like really just turn off your social media and just really look them in the eye. Like really be a part of their world and make them be a part of your world. Like really show that you're interested in their world. Ask questions. And very important, Tanya, don't make your child fear you. I know discipline is a part of raising children, but If your child is fearing you, they're not going to share with you if something is off. They're not going to share with you if something's bothering them. They're going to not share with you if they're getting bullied or whatever it is. Many people use drugs just to feel comfortable and just to escape the stress and calm their anxiety and all. You want to be the first one. You want to be the first one that your child is sharing this kind of stuff with. And they're not going to do it if they fear you. So have a positive relationship with your child. And as much as you can, I know they all pick their friends, but also give them tools like, you know, discuss, like just discuss a lot of important topics. Like how does a positive friendship look like? A positive friendship is supportive. They don't lie. They don't offer you drugs and they encourage you, not discourage you, and vice versa. How does a negative friendship look like? You know, they lie, they manipulate, they push you into doing things that you don't want to do. And practice refusal skills, Tanya. We all have to do that. We have to really practice role-playing. Just tell your child, what if this situation is just in front of you, somebody's offering you, how would you respond? Like, this kind of like, you know, just teach them, say, no, thank you. Or just call me, I'll come and pick you up. Or walk away from that situation. It's okay. But just practicing kind of triggers the imagination, like you're imagining it. And the good thing is that the brain does not know the difference between reality and imagination. And you're just building the pathways. You're just getting stronger. You're just getting mentally stronger. And if you're really confronted with the situation, you know how to handle it. That's the best tool we can give, right? We can teach them resilience. We can model. And I always also see it very important that I have to mention this. You are the most important person, parents, specifically for moms, mm-hmm. if you're the primary caregiver, the most important person in your child's life. You have to be the role model that your child deserves, right? You're the one. Like, how do you deal with stress? How do you deal with anxiety? Are you tackling the problem? Are you also focused on the Are you like focusing on the solution or the problem? Are you trying to escape? Like, your child is watching you. You mm-hmm. are the role model. Like, you are the one that they learn from. So model it. Like, if you have a problem, like I see that a lot, that parents don't want their kids to use drugs, but they do it themselves. Like, let's be real. It does happen. And you set the standard for your child. Like, they grow up thinking that it's not as bad. Mom and dad are doing it. It is like, gives them the permission. Yep. Right.
The saddest thing I saw. So I raised my children. They're 16 and 18. We don't always get a meal together because they're so busy now, but I raised them so that there is always a table and we sit down at the table and we have at least one meal a day. On the weekends, it can be in the morning, but in the evening, we even went to a hotel to where it had a little kitchenette and they said, but there's no table. Where are we going to eat? The saddest thing I saw just recently at a restaurant, and I knew it was coming. Well, there's two sad things, is where they hand the phone to the baby. And what we're learning is how much the brain is triggered by that. And the baby really needs to see us, but they want to have conversation. I'm like, get a babysitter, you know, get grandma, do something, but not hand the phone. But there were four, and mom, dad, and elementary school kids, and they are all on their phones. They're eating and on their phones. Nobody is interacting with each other. And to me, that is, you're missing the opportunity to connect and hear what is going on about the day, because that's probably, you know how it is when you rush them off to school in the morning, you see them for about an hour and a half, maybe, and then they come home. Mine are all at practice till 7 o'clock. They come home. You don't see them at all. How are you supposed to build positive parenting if you, the adult, I'm sorry, I'm going to nail you on this, but you, the adult, are looking at your phone instead of eye to eye with your children. Yep. 30 minutes, 40 minutes, maybe even an hour a day to where you're having a meal and actually speaking to your children. I'm sorry, this is a real passion for me.
I totally build
this connection some way, and that phone is getting in the way. And we could talk about phone addiction too, but that's a whole separate thing. What you were talking about earlier, I translate into vulnerability. If I'm not willing to be vulnerable enough with my child to put the phone down and look them in the eye and share age-appropriate things that are going on with me, to open things up so they can share about them and hold that space, we're headed to a road that I can't turn, you know, things around. I don't have any connection to speak into their life at that point.
I could not agree with you more. I mean, we use our phones as babysitting item when we go out. Just you know, I understand parents want their peace. They want to have a nice meal, and it you know, I get it. But it's very important to connect, because that can potentially save your child's life. right? These are moments that will never come back. When once they're off to college, Sonia, they're gone. They're not coming back. Both of my kids are in college. They ain't coming back. None of it. And I do really look back, like, what could I have done better? So, luckily, I did not have a, you know, phone growing up. But the best thing that you can do really is use those valuable time, not only to connect, but also as a teaching moments. Even watching a movie and TV, there are a lot of lessons learned from every single movie you watch with your child, or commercials, right? Or commercials, like, I'm very passionate about using that as a teaching lesson, because what they hear from you, they cannot unhear. So what you tell them, they're not going to unhear. Like, to make them aware, like, make them aware. Look at this commercial. Like, they're, you know, let's say a commercial about an alcoholic beverage or whatever it is, or medication. You know, make them aware of the background music that influences their emotion, or the young people. Like, everything is designed to control and influence your psychology and make you buy it, because, you know, you need to, since you cannot prevent it, you need to be ahead of all that trend and empower them, right? We don't want our kids to go take medicine for every time they don't feel good. So, you know, we, like, even I'm very passionate about, you know, helping people with you know, raising awareness to drug addiction, but oftentimes we don't pay as much attention to legal drugs. Right, legal drugs are over-the-counter drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, and e-cigarettes, and all that stuff. You can purchase it right around the corner from the gas station.
And
just because, oh, Mariana, just because it's legal, many things that it's not as bad, not as harmless. But look at the statistics. How many thousands of people do we lose to drug addiction, alcohol, due to alcohol, driving under the influence, and on all that kind of stuff, health issues that it can cause. It can kill you, and it's only a couple bucks around the corner, right?
And the last conference I was at about opiates, they said where most kids get them is from a family medicine cabinet that the person, my son just had his wisdom teeth out. He came home with some narcotics, and we could have left them in the cabinet. But, you know, we have enough history that's not appropriate, that those things need to be disposed of. It's not that your kid's out there buying them on the street. Now, has that been your experience too?
Yes, absolutely. So if there's any medication that you, like, I get it. We need antibiotic once in a while. Everything that you don't need, dispose it, right? Sometimes family members pass on narcotics to each other. Oh, I can't sleep. Do you have anything? Like, those sleeping medication are narcotics as well. Highly addictive, very dangerous. And lock them up, get rid of it, and don't take it if you don't really, really need it. And take it as prescribed. Like, don't just take it just because you have a couple extra left in your cabinet.
That's right.
Doctor's instructions. Use it appropriately for the duration of the time that is prescribed. Right. So all these little things, everything, like, really, I poured my heart and soul into this book. All moms out there, if you want to prevent, get your hands on it. You really don't want to wait until it happens.
Yeah. So tell us how this connection, so you're building the connect, you know, with little ones, we take a lot more care. We're right there with them. We've got to change diapers, and then we potty train, and then we take them to school, and we do all that stuff. So you've built this connection, and then you hit that preteen teenage stage and they begin to pull away. So what is your suggestion when they begin to pull away? I don't want to call them secretive, but you don't know everything about their lives anymore.
Yeah. And that is normal. That is normal. They should pull away a little bit. You don't want them to be glued to you until they hit 40, 50, be infant, infant adults. You don't want that. You know, that's a normal phase to transition into adulthood, detach, build your independence and autonomy, make your decisions, they will make the wrong decisions too. I mean, that's how they learn, and that is completely fine. So what you can, the best thing that you can do, since you cannot follow them around, be a helicopter parent, because right. once they're allowed to drive, you're kind of like really losing the grip here. Mm-hmm. And be the best role model possible.
And how do you suggest women, you're a professional woman, I'm a professional woman, I have a husband, I have sons, I have friends, I have things that I want to do, I have a church community, I have all those things. How do you suggest women find that space for themselves so that they can role model it for the kids? Oh, so they can role model dealing with the stress, the crisis. It will happen. You know, it's going to, crises are going to happen. What do they need to be doing?
You know, thank you for that question. Really. I'm so passionate about self-love. I have a whole chapter on embracing the woman within you. If you don't take care of yourself, you have no energy to give. So many, many get it wrong, Tanya. Many think that self-love is selfish. Completely wrong. It is absolutely necessary that you take care of your own needs, own desires, do things that helps you release some stress, right? That's how we recharge. Because if you are at your best, at your peak, your family gets the best of you and not the rest of you. You need to have the energy to educate yourself, be ahead of every trend. Like, there are new drugs coming out by the day and new trends coming out by the day. You need to learn in order to teach, right? You need to, mm-hmm. like, we are responsible to educate ourselves so we can pass it on in the most appropriate way, in a language, in a loving and caring language that they would understand.
Yeah. Right? So you just said it. Self-care is so the family gets the best of you, not the rest of you.
Exactly. And I totally get it that once you have a child, if you're doing drugs, hanging out with the wrong friends, it is devastating. I totally understand. Like, which mother wouldn't, right? You literally can't breathe. You're so devastated and feel so helpless. And I found that parents usually do the wrong thing in their attempt to help. And here's some of the reasons I want to list real quick. You know,
wrong things that they're doing.
Exactly. First thing, they rely on punishment. They think if they punish their child harsh enough, that they won't do it. Maybe temporarily, but it's not the solution. You need to find out why, right? You know, individuals use drugs to fulfill a certain need. Mm-hmm. What is it that they're trying to, what need is it? Like, is it the need to escape stress? Is it the need to fit in? Or what is it? It can be anything. So you need to go to find out the root cause of it. And sometimes you can't do it on your own. And you have to reach out to people who do. And second one, reaching again, let's say you do want to reach out to somebody that can help you out. I notice that parents sometimes reach out to the wrong people, friends, family, the pastor or school counselor or whoever, who also lack the necessary skills to talk to these teens and intervene as soon as possible. Again, losing time that they can't afford to lose. And other things, keeping it as a family secret. I have seen it, right? Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, there's a lot of stigma and shame attached to drug addiction. And it would just prevent families to reach out just because they're too ashamed. They don't want to be judged and want their friends and family to distance themselves.
Well, and we've criminalized something. We've criminalized a person who, and we've likened it to this a lot, they've broken their leg, right? And we take them to the hospital and they get casted and then we take care of them. But if you have started to use cocaine, meth, opioids, even pot, we're going to criminalize you instead of saying, wait a minute, like you said, there's a deeper root. They need proper help. And there are a lot of times that maybe you're not punishing, but if you turn them over to the wrong counselor, wrong pastor, wrong whatever, they will punish. And then, as you said, there's a time frame here. Those little brains, even with teenagers, they're still forming. So how, especially with your beautiful 24-year-old that passed away, how could you have helped? Had you been able to start with that mother sooner as a specific example, what would you have had her do differently?
Educate her, improve their communication, and also work with the teen, of course, change your environment, empower them, literally like empower them so they don't feel the need to escape, so they don't feel the need to use drugs, right? Mm-hmm. Like make them focus on their, like, what is it? What kind of life are you imagining? Like really carving, like coming up with the roadmap that is their ideal life. So let's go that way. Is that the life that you desire? Okay, let's do that way, because that's not what's going to happen. If you continue doing what you're doing, kind of like show them the road ahead, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And just Google, Tanya, just Google somebody. How does a person look like who does use meth? It's unbelievable. They age, they look 20 years older and sick. And I have not seen one person in my course of career that looks their best using drugs. It's always the worst. And if that doesn't scare away teens, I don't know what is. And also find them mentors. Sometimes parents are not the best role models, but you can find them mentors who guide them the way, who can guide the way, who can really show what is possible, who not discourage them, but empowers them and encourages them, who's kind of like their guardian angel when there's none. So yeah, I had no role models that, you know, I'm not coming from an educated background. It took me like 40 years to find my voice and really tap into my potential. But if with the right people, you can save that time.
Yes.
You have to waste 30 years, 40 years of your life. Just if you reach out to the right people, you save decades and you save mistakes. If people show you the road ahead, you save mistakes.
What about the mom who is, I've seen this, to where they feel so helpless, they have pretty much just buried themselves. They're like, there's two kinds. I see these two dichotomies of just go away, I don't want to deal with you, or the other one who has completely collapsed. She's given up all of her power. She doesn't know what else to do. And she's at that hopeless stage. What do you do for hopeless moms?
Oh, man. You know, why would you give up hope? Why? Like, why? We give these souls who are part of us, right? We bring them to this world. And you kind of like signing this invisible contract. You can't get out of, you don't have the luxury of giving hope. As a mom, as a parent, you can't give up hope. Like it's like this unconditional, right? It's this unconditional love. I have heard parents, you know, just very recently, mom reaching up to me, you know, same problem, teen is using drugs. The relationship is terrible. That is kind of really even getting physical. And she was like, I don't even want to see my child. I don't even want to see him. Like this big resentment that is like, there's a conflict. Right. But on the very deep down, there is pure love.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason they don't want to see their child or vice versa is because they are hurt. They don't feel understood. There's no connection. There's no empathy. And I'm all about, you know, building the relationship and the connection so they both feel understood. So teen is not going to tell them what's bothering them. Or all the reasons why they're doing this or that. If you don't show empathy, if you don't connect with them. And I have really proven strategies how to talk to your teen. Let's say you found a pack of cocaine under the mattress and you know exactly what your child is doing. How are you going to approach? How are you, like, a lot of parents don't know what to do. They like scream and yell and they kind of lose it. but that never solved the problem.
So you're saying, just to say it real clear, punishment and correction. Talk to us about punishment and correction versus boundaries and connection, I think is where you're going.
Yes, punishment. I mean, as I mentioned, punishment is not the solution to the problem. Mm-hmm. It is a quick fix. Maybe your child will, you know, they'll just get smarter on hiding things. They're just going to not do it maybe at home. They just do it at their friend's house or in the schoolyard or wherever. They're not going to tell you. Well, is that the solution?
That just pushes them away, I would think. That just pushes them back out into whatever society gave them that in the first place.
Yes, instead of building the relationship, you're now destroying the relationship or even made it worse. Even if it was bad before, now you made it worse. So how are you going to fix that? So whatever you say or try to do, they're just hard. It's just they're not going to listen. They're not going to be inspired. Like they just, and you really need help. Like if you feel like there is a really big problem and you just, it's just top of your head, you just cannot, reach out for help. Don't lose time. Don't be ashamed. Let people who wants to judge you, judge you. That means those are not the right friends. Those are not the friends that you really want to surround yourself with.
So you find the cocaine under the mattress. You're shocked. Hopefully you are able to tell your spouse. What is, for practical purposes, child is not at home. What is the next step?
Well, child is not home. You wait for the child to come back.
Do you put the cocaine back and go seek professional help? I mean, before you can
throw it away.
This?
They can always go get another one. It's not the solution. Like, it's really, really not the solution. Find the right time. Calm down. Find the right time and the right place. You don't want anybody else around. You don't want to be in a rush. The conversation with your child, you don't want to be like, oh, I have only 5 minutes to talk to you. No, this can take a long time, right? You just don't know. Calm down. Like, you really, if you stay calm and connect and collected, your child will catch your calm, right? Be understanding, empathetic, and use I statements and not you statements. Use like, I'm so concerned about you. I worry about you. I notice these changes. I notice your grades are not the best. I notice you hanging out with the wrong people. Not like you. How could you? How could you do this to me? How could you be so stupid? Or that's not the right strategy. Here's the thing that many people don't know. If your child is afraid, like you raise your voice, you scream, you threaten them, the thinking part of the brain, the cortex will shut down because we feel before we think. If you feel threatened, we can't think straight. If you want your child to think, deeply about the things that you will be saying, you know, like I got you, I can help you. I can guide you and I'm always on your side no matter what. I love you and all that stuff. You calm down, you are telling your child and it will be more receptive and think. So fear, when the fight or flight response is on, your child will not use the front of the brain, the cortex. So anything you say is going to be kind of like, it's not going to be fruitful. And what can you do? Pick up the conversation the next day. You can say things like, you know, it looks like we are not getting into an agreement today and emotions are kind of high and let's pick up this conversation. So when is a good time to connect again? I really would like to dig deeper into this and try to understand you and see how we can move on. But just empathy. Show that you understand them, right? You have to relate to them. I know things were hard for you lately. But what you're doing is really not the solution. Let's get together and find a solution to whatever problem there is. And it's different for each family, right? Each child is different. Each case is different. It's really hard to give a recommendation. But, you know, I'm open to, get on a call with anybody. Just go on Bright Wings and Coco. schedule a call with me, like 15, 20 minutes. I'm here to serve, really. I'm doing this for free. It's my mission. If you have a burning question, want to discuss your family's unique needs, I'm really here to, or shoot me an email, info@brightwingsandcoco.com. Or just please get a free copy, momhelpmebook.com. It's cover shipping and handling. It is my gift to all moms out there who are, to me, they are queens. They are all queens doing the best they can.
Yes.
And
yes.
Nevria, I really appreciate you being on the podcast. And I just want to encourage all the folks from Sober on Purpose to go ahead and get this book. She also has courses. Give her a call. You know, if you are really struggling with a teen, or you think you're struggling, there are signs that come beforehand. It could be that they are eating a heck of a lot of sugar. We know that a lot of folks that turn to alcohol or return from alcohol, sugar is a big thing. It is a mood shifter, a mood altering piece. If you're noticing grades dropping, if you're noticing friends walking away, if you're noticing anything that seems out of the ordinary, it is certainly helpful to talk to Nevria and see if you can be the detective, not in a slimy, cruel way, but to look and see if these things are happening and if there's a place to step in, because that's what shifts the family, is when the whole family gets well, when the whole family says, hey, I'm going to deal with my issues. I can be here to help you deal with your issues, but we're not just going to sweep this under the rug until there's such a huge mound that nobody can see each other anymore. So Nevria, thank you so much. We're going to have all the links down below. She's really got some great work. There's a journal that goes along with this. And although time is of the essence, it isn't as though you have to go grab your family member and shake them by the shoulders and say, stop doing this. A plan, a well thought out plan, like Nevria has put in her book, like she'll talk to you about, like in the Dancing with Joy program we work with, a well thought out plan will help you more along the way than knee jerk reaction of possibly damaging the connection you already have. Yes, timing is important, but those reactions of, I just want to shake them, probably mean you need to go do some self-care. Wouldn't you agree?
I absolutely agree. Like, take care of yourself, take care of your own needs without shame and guilt. You deserve it. Like, I'm rooting here for all the moms out there who are really doing their very best. And I'm here to serve. I'm here to help any way I can. Every mom, even if I can help one person's life, help transform lives, that's my mission right here. That is the ultimate fulfillment for me.
Well, thank you so much for doing that. Really appreciate you being on the show. We're going to have you back on to talk about shame, blame, and guilt, because moms already carry a lot of that. We couldn't get to everything today, but that is something that keeps us from reaching out for help. So don't let that keep you from reaching out to Nevria. She has just some fantastic content. And it's a starting place. You know, you learned how to take care of them as little kids. It doesn't stop. There's more to work with. Exactly. So Nevria, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I see you soon.
You, beloved listener, are creative, resourceful, and whole. Do you want to add more purpose to your sober journey? Do you want to make room for the new and make your dreams a reality? Apply today for a dream session. Go to tanyajoya.com. That's TanyaGioia.com and apply today. Let's get you dreaming about your new purpose.